Thanks for letting me see you. Did a good job. It's so good to see all of you again, and I'm glad to be with you. Didn't Brother Adams do a good job in teaching the class? He really did. Kind of good to see you again. Nice to be with you. I have fond memories of our work together. He used to come to our preacher training program every year in Ellisville and talk to the young men about issues old and new. We need some more of that occasionally. This is an unusual situation. We're amongst four generations of preachers and five generations soon of people. A lot of good visitors here today, people from other places that I've known over the years. And it's good to see all of you. Good to be with John, to work with him. And he does such a good job, doesn't he? Appreciate the elders and their invitation to come to be with you. My subject this morning is why the Jerusalem wall was built in 52 days. I'm reading as my text, the book of Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. You ever try to figure out how they did that so quickly? The book of Nehemiah opens with the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Nehemiah 1:3. When Nehemiah heard these words, he said, I sat down and wept, I cried and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah 1, verse 4. This study is designed to try to figure out why this wall was built in 52 days. Let's see if we can find out. First of all, this wall was built in 52 days because they knew what their job was. In the book of Nehemiah 2:18, they said, let us rise up and build. You know, some people never know what their job is. I talked to a deacon a few years ago, not at this place, but at another place. He said, what is my job as a deacon? He said, I've been one for 25 years and don't know what my work is. Shame on him. Shame on somebody at least. Well, they knew the job. Number two, they had a good attitude. That's why the wall was built in 52 days. Even though they were laughed to scorn and were despised, you know what they said? The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build. Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20. By the way, with an attitude like this, nothing can stop the work. I'm asking you, do you have this good attitude here? Do you? You'll have to decide. Also, this wall was built in 52 days because they worked in spite of criticism. Some people can't take criticism, not even constructive criticism. The people were mocked. They were called feeble. They were told that if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Nehemiah 4, 1 to 3. This did not stop the Lord's people from building. I'm asking you and you and you. Wouldn't it have stopped you if somebody criticized what you said or did? What about you? But there's something else that caused this wall to be built in 52 days. They would not compromise. Compromise in a lot of places today is the order of the day. Too many people compromise the truth and fail to take a stand for what's right. Not these people. When Sanballat and Geshem said, come and let us meet together in one of the villages in the plains of Ono. What they were really saying to them, let's talk this over. Let's think about that a little bit. Maybe we can compromise a little. You know what they said? In Nehemiah 6, 1 to 3, you read about it. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? We do not intend to compromise, not at all. Am I talking your sentiment this morning? I hope so. One of my favorite Old Testament characters is Moses. You like Moses? When Pharaoh said to the people, you can go out and worship, but you can't take your cattle. You got to keep them. You read about this in the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verses 24 to 26. You know what they said? Not a hoof be left behind. Would you have said that? Or would you have said, well, maybe we ought to, we need to worship God, and so maybe we need to think about that a little bit. Maybe we need to be a little more compromised. Not these people. We do not intend to compromise the truth for something that we know better than. You ever read Galatians chapter 2, 4, and 5? When people came down to try out their liberty and about try to bind circumcision, and he said, we do not intend to compromise. You know how he said that? Not for an hour. Not for 60 minutes. Am I talking to you? You have that attitude here? I hope so. I think I know you well enough to know that. I think these elders are good elders in that they nip things in the bud. You ever heard that? That's where you nip it, by the way. This wall was built in 52 days because they would not compromise. But also, this wall was built in 52 days because they prayed about it. Talking to God in prayer is essential to building. Nehemiah said, I prayed before the God of heaven. What did he say? Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. That's repeated a number of times in the book of Nehemiah. The references are Nehemiah 1, 4 and 6, 11, chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, and then verse 9. They prayed about it. That's how they got the job done. Try building without praying. Our Father which art in heaven, you need to say that often. You know, the New Testament and Old as well place a lot of emphasis on prayer. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Somebody said, well, I can't do that. I wouldn't have time to play, work, or do anything else. Come on. Have a little common sense. That means don't quit praying. Keep on praying. Let it be a part of your life. Ephesians 6:18, continue in prayer. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding shall guard your hearts and lives. Philippians 4:6. Peter put it this way. The eyes of the Lord of the righteous, and his are open to their prayers. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. It's always good to sing some good prayer songs. The wall was built in 52 days because they talked to God about it. Do you do that? I hope you will. But I'll tell you something else that enabled this wall to be built in 52 days. They were not afraid. You know, some people are afraid of everything. I don't think it'll work. I'm just scared. And so I don't think we ought to try that. Fear is a hindrance to building. Nehemiah advised the people in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Nehemiah 4:14. Don't be afraid. I'm sure you remember the one talent man in Matthew 25, verse 25. He hid the talent, wouldn't use it. You know why? He said, I was afraid. Don't be afraid of everything. Oh, I don't believe that'll work. I think it's kind of scary to even try. And the Lord said, well, that's okay. You think that's what he said? No, sir. He called him something that he didn't approve of. He's unrighteous. He's headed to the wrong place. Remember that little story in Matthew 25, 28 to 30. The Lord was not pleased with him because he was afraid. Joshua was told when he took over the work that Moses left, be not afraid. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. The fearful have their place, if you remember Revelation 21, 8. So don't be afraid to do the Lord's building. It's been said by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You remember that phrase? There's only one thing to fear. You know what that is? That's fear itself. So don't let fear keep you from rising up to build. That's why they built that wall in 52 days. I'll tell you something else. The wall at Jerusalem was built because they were strong. It takes people's strength to do the Lord's work. He just said of these building people in Nehemiah 2:18, so they strengthened their hands for that. This good work. Got to be strong. Can't be a weakling. In doing God's Old Testament work, Joshua was told, be thou strong. Don't forget that. Joshua 1:7. Writing the Ephesians, Paul penned these words. Finally, my brethren, you know the rest of that? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. How was this wall built so quickly? It was strong. I'm talking to you. You consider yourself a strong person? You'll have to decide. But there's something else that enabled this wall to be built in 52 days. They all worked at it. How do I know that? So we labored in the work. Listen to this. Half of them that held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared, Nehemiah 4:21. Think of that. They all worked at it. In Nehemiah 4:6, one of the great statements in this book, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together, and the half thereof. You know the rest of that? Listen to it. For the people had a mind to work. You show me a church that has that kind of a mind, I'll show you one that's going to build and grow like you have here. It's been amazing. Work that's been done in this place because you worked at it. To build up a church, to keep it growing, it takes work. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Why? The night cometh. That is, after you've gone and no man can work. John 9:4. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Maybe some of yours. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know what that says? Paul had discussed the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection chapter, as you probably know. Then he said this. He draws a conclusion with that word, therefore. Therefore what? My beloved brethren, be ye, watch this, steadfast, unmovable, sometimes abiding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that what he said? You know better, I hope. Abounding always. Not just sometime, always. Why do that, Lord? Because the labor is not in vain. You know we do a lot of things in vain for naught, not this. They built this wall because they worked at it. We have a lot of good workers in this church, I'm sure, right, John? That's been it's done so well in such a short period of time. I'll tell you something else that enabled this wall to be built in 52 days. Each person did his part. It takes everybody. For work to be successful, each member must step out up to the plate of responsibility. Not let George do it or somebody else. These people were united. They stood together. In Nehemiah 8:1, they stood as one man. You know, that was even before the Watergate. One man. That phrase indicates they were united. They stood together. That's what happened. That's what's happening in this church. Y'all stand together, don't you? If you don't, you better get at it. Each one did his part. Nehemiah 4, 14 to 18. Paul, writing the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4, 16, talked about every joint supply, like this body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 24, teaches that all parts of a person's body must work together for that body to function as it should. You know, it's like when they took Jericho back in the book of Judges. You know why? One reason they were really successful in taking that city? Judges 7:21 says, and they stood every man, put his stand in his place. By the way, are you in your place? You need to find out what it is. Get it and stay in it and be satisfied with that. Some people just toss to and fro. Paul warned the Ephesians about that, didn't he? Ephesians 4:14. Don't be no longer children. Toss to and fro. Don't do that. One more point, the sermon's yours. They built this wall in 52 days because they recognized that a few people can get the job done. Some of you may belong to a small church. I've worked with a lot of small churches over the years. They need somebody to work with them, you do know. These people were few. Let me show you that. In the book of Nehemiah 7 and 4. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. They were few, but they didn't quit. You know, God's people have always been among the few, never among the majority. Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not choose you nor set his love upon you because you were the greatest of people. In fact, he said you were the fewest of all people. You know how many were saved in the ark, don't you? 8. Noah and his wife and their boys and girls and their wives. 1 Peter 3:20-21. I guess the mountain message reports that as well as any. Remember in the book of Matthew chapter 7, when the Lord talked about this? He talked about entering into the narrow way or the straight or the restricted way. Matthew 7:13-14. And then you know how that passage ends up? Many go in the broad way. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and you know what the next word is? Few. There be that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. It's been said, and it's a good statement, I think. One person and God make a majority. You believe that? These people did. I do. And as a result, they built that wall in 52 days. In Augusta, Georgia, a few years ago, there was only a couple that attended every service went to the building for Bible study and the worship morning and evening and back on Wednesday night. Just those two. Just every service. DuPont built an H-bomb plant in that area, and it brought 20,000 people into that area overnight and became a flourishing church. Aud McKee preached there, and I preached across the river in Aiken, South Carolina at the time. Just two people. So don't give up if you're among the few. That's it. Now we know why this wall was built in just 52 days. You know, it would be awfully good if you were not a member of this church to be a member and help them build it up. You just don't become a member automatically. God has a plan, you know. John gives it every service, doesn't he? And those of you who preach, I urge you to give that plan every service. Sometimes we just say, if you're here and want to be saved, just come up. Well, I never heard about it, so I come up and I don't know what to do. So I won't tell you. You've heard about it. Faith comes that way, Romans 10, 17. Can't please God without faith, Hebrews 11, 6. Repentance is required of all men everywhere, Acts 17, 30. God expects us to make that public confession in what the eunuch said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, 37. You need to make that just before you're baptized. It's a public confession. Sometimes the preachers will say, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And somebody says, I don't like that, do you? The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You like that? Is that all? Not quite. Our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16. When you do that, the Lord pardons your past sins, not future sins, past sins. Adds you to his body of the church, Acts 2:47. And then if you'll be faithful and steadfast and unmovable, till it's all over, heaven can be your home. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've been unfaithful, you've drifted, you've quit coming, you've quit attending. You quit praying, you quit studying, you quit doing and being what you know you ought to do and to be. You can straighten all that out this morning by repenting of those things for which you're guilty and asking God to forgive you in prayer. Like Simon did in Acts 8 and 22 and John, 1 John 1:9. We're going to sing the song. Who's leading? Would you come while we sing?